Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman and I'm a copywriter here at PMA. This week's episode is brought to you by Product Marketing Off-Piste, our virtual event celebrating innovative practices across the industry. From December the 8th to December the 11th, we'll be joined by PMMs from companies such as Uber Eats, IBM and PayPal, as we bring you 30 plus hours of content from 50 plus product marketing visionaries. Simply head to innovate.productmarketingalliance.com to secure your place and end 2020 on a high. But remember, if you're a PMA member, this event's included as part of your subscription. To establish and elevate the role of product marketing, we're on a mission to speak to 50 PMMs to pick their brains on everything from their journey into the industry, which teams they interact with most, what skills they believe are critical for the role, and a whole lot more. And this week, I'm thrilled to be joined by Greg Davis, former lead product marketing manager at Gusto. Greg has a wealth of experience in a breadth of areas, including product management, business development, sales and strategy, and of course, product marketing, working alongside startup companies as well as established organizations. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me, Greg.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, it's not a problem. It's our, it's our pleasure. So first of all, to kick off, can I just ask what it was in the first place that made you want to become a product marketer?
Yeah, so let's see. One of my early... Well, I set out to become a tech co-founder and was a started a company. I had no business start. The only reason I did it because I was too ignorant to know how hard it would be to actually have a successful company, raise money, hire, train people, and like actually like sell a product. But while I was there, I was kind of leading our business development and customer development work and trying to figure out what it is we need to build. Then I tried to like sell it kind of before it was a real product. And then kind of during the second half of the almost 4 years I was there, I actually was the product manager too. And obviously we were first time entrepreneurs, made a ton of mistakes, ran it into the ground, had to let everyone go, wind down the company. And I was like, well, crap, I've been living off my credit card for the past year. Like, I need to make actual money because I'm terribly in debt at the moment. And I was like, what am I actually even qualified to do at a company, like a real company where like they have real roles? And I was looking around and is sort of like, well, I'm kind of good at selling things, but there's definitely better people. I'm okay at building product, but I'm sure there's better people. Like, where do I still get to do all these things, which I'm really interested in? But like, is there a role for a me? And kind of stumbled upon product marketing because you got to sit in the middle of this triangle between customers, the product team, and the sales team. And you have to kind of be second best at all of those things in order to be an effective product marketer. And so kind of just by process of elimination of what I was qualified and interested to do, found product marketing.
So would you consider yourself, I mean, I've spoke to other people on the show and they've kind of just said, oh, well, I'd classify myself as almost like an accidental product marketer. Would you say that that'd be fair to put yourself into that category as well?
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of, you know, once you did fall into, the industry, can you just, obviously explain just what your first job in product marketing looked like?
It was like a big data analytics, kind of clue what I was doing. And then also we kind of sold more enterprise-y deals. So I found that kind of product marketing, when you're selling to the enterprise, is much more kind of sales enablement driven. Because if you think about like, what's the most high value activity? Well, it's probably to close like a $5 million sale. So a lot of time and effort goes into positioning, but it wasn't, it didn't manifest so much on like a website or in emails or it was more about kind of like deal support.
Okay. And how about, you know, from that initial role in product marketing to now, you know, your position at Gusto. Could you just talk us through what your career path looked like from then to, you know, to where we are here in 2020?
In terms of my role at Gusto? So, I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit there. I apologize.
Oh, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Just from your initial, your initial role in product marketing and then going through to Gusto, or your latest role at Gusto, can you take us through what your career path looked like from then to now?
Yeah. Well, it kind of like started off as just sort of like your standard IC product marketer, kind of learning the trade and getting chops. From there, I went to a company called Intercom, which had a really strong product marketing culture. Joined as a senior PMM. Initially, kind of just was leading like a product or two. Eventually got promoted and then started to kind of expand scope to multiple products, and then also started managing a few people. And then from there, made the change over to Gusto to actually largely a similar role, still managing a few folks and owning several different products at a time, and probably weighing more on not just sort of product strategy, but also sort of like company product strategy as well. So kind of a natural progression from sort of like individual products to management to broadening scope in terms of what you need to think about.
Okay, awesome. And in terms of, in your last role, or, you know, maybe in, if we could maybe focus on how this varied, what did your direct team look like in terms of numbers and roles in the product marketing function?
Yeah, so and I think I find this most places, it's always pretty small teams. So at Intercom, I managed up to 3 people, and then at Gusto, it was 2. And in terms of like levels of seniority at Intercom, it was everywhere from junior, kind of like almost new grad, or kind of like second job type of folks, all the way up to very senior IC level folks, kind of on the cusp of management. And then at Gusto, it was 2 fairly senior members of the team as well.
Okay. And in terms of teams outside of marketing, such as sales, product, operations, etc., which departments would you say that you have interacted with the most in your role of in your role as a product marketer? And what's your relationship with these teams look like?
Well, I think where I've always invested most of my time, and also just because I'm also most interested, is the product team. I think that there's definitely different types of product marketers, but what I always thought we should be doing is being 2 sides of kind of the same coin with our product counterparts. Really thinking about the same problems, being like involved early on in product decisions, like even at sort of like the design sprint phase for a new thing before a line of code is written. And really being kind of a partner to them, and even bringing different perspectives and a healthy tension to what it is we're doing and why. But for me, by far and away, the most important team is the product team.
Okay. And in an absolute dream world, I know we don't live in a dream world, even more so in 2020, but
not at all.
What does your, a dream scenario, what does the ideal relationship between product and other, or product marketing rather, and other areas or departments look like within a company? What do you think is needed for a really conducive working relationship?
Well, to be honest, it's probably focus, because product marketing suffers similar problems to copywriting, product design, brand design, and they were kind of sort of shared services across the organization. So any PMM can cover like 1 to 9 product teams. And when you're supporting more than 2 or 3, Well, so I guess the idea is support about one or two product teams. So you can actually go deep on what it, the topic is, become a real expert on the space, form opinions about where you need to be going and why, and kind of really earn the respect of the product team to show that you are like really on board with what they're doing. You understand the strategy, you understand the constraints, and you can be like a really deeply embedded strategic member of that team. But because we're kind of usually split across many different product teams and product areas, it's hard to do that. But I think ideally that's what I'd like to see, is a PMM supporting one or two PMs instead of like five or eight. And I think that allows you to go deep and have much more value and impact to the org.
Yeah, sure. And it's interesting that you say that it's, product marketers are, almost in the same boat as, say, a graphic designer or a copywriter or something. I mean, would you say that, or have you experienced instances whereby you've, yourself as a product marketer has almost like been overly, overly stretched? And have you experienced instances whereby, it's almost like the role's almost underappreciated, undervalued at all?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I've been in situations where obviously you can't actively support all these, but we've been tasked with supporting 8 or 9 different product managers.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, like, honestly, it's undervalued in terms of like the company did not allocate the resources to add headcount to support kind of the product teams in a ratio that's viable. But I don't think that any of the teams ever underappreciated product marketing's impact and help with what they're doing. I think that almost everyone has been seeing the value that product marketing can bring and the difference of perspective. But no, yeah, I mean, in many occasions supported way too many people. And then it just becomes like ruthless prioritization exercise where even in the best of times, not 2020, you can't devote equal time and effort to all the things you're doing. So you have to pick what is the highest value to the business, to the strategy, and focus on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It does seem to be a recurring skill, if you like, that's being identified by more product marketers that I've speak to, it's just all about, as you say, prioritization, making sure that you're picking the most important parts and rolling with it. So on that note, what would you say the top 3 skills are that have helped you get to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that prioritization has to be on that list. I don't think they're stack ranked, but prioritization is really key. And I think that that's really what separates more junior product marketers from more senior ones, is being able to figure out what I need to say no to and what I need to spend time on. So that would definitely be one. I think the other one is being like really at heart, maybe you're not the greatest, but like you are a true product person. You care about interactions in the app. You care about the design. You know how the product works. Like someone that can have a conversation with their PM and say smart, intelligent, insightful things. So I think that like really having product interest, enthusiasm, and some ability to really like play in the product strategy space is incredibly important. And then lastly, I think it's kind of like customer obsession. Like you really have to deeply understand the pains, the jobs to be done, the whatever it might be of your customers, and kind of like hold that very dear to you and make sure that kind of you're always thinking about whatever it is we're doing, whether it be the strategy, whether it be the next feature, whether it be the marketing, from that customer-centric perspective.
Okay. And as we mentioned in the intro, you've also worked with startups as well. And with the current, COVID pandemic that's going on at the minute, We're seeing more product marketers, you know, set up shop on their own and kind of just roll with it and go with their own venture. What would be your, almost like your tip or, you know, your golden nugget of information that you'd like to give people who maybe, you know, launching their own product marketing enterprise, if you like, at the moment and rolling with it alone? Is there almost like something that you would want to, you know, to communicate to those people who are setting up on their own adventure?
Man, I mean, it's tough. I think that it's really about cultivating, like at that point, you're actually becoming probably more sales. So it's about relationships. It's about being able to position yourself. It's about using those people you've worked with in the past to get kind of the opportunities. I think that, yeah, at that point, like as much as it's kind of like the work you do as a product marketer, it's the about your ability to win business. And so you have to think about it more from a sales perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And it almost brings home again that, you know, that diverse nature of the product marketing function, doesn't it? I guess. And no, I totally see where you're coming from. So in your previous roles that, you know, you've held yourself, would you say that there've been a crossover at all between what you've had to do and what a PM has done at your company?
There is. I mean, I think that it's different though. I think that a PMM or a PM for that matter should be able to, if someone said like, oh, your partner is gone, you should be able to step into that role and perform kind of like functionally at that. But there's definitely differences in terms of what it is a PM does. Like they have to think about all the eng constraints, the time to market, the legacy kind of like architecture that needs to be changed in order to do this or why we can and can't do it. So like they are thinking about a very different problem set a lot of the time. But yeah, no, I think that a PMM should, if someone said like, hey, you got to PM this new feature build, like you should be able to do that. Like that should be something that you feel comfortable with and you know the role well enough from having those strong relationships to be able to do that.
Okay. So would you say that, could you clarify as to what your stance is on where you think the role of a PM and a PMM begins and ends? And do you think there should be lines in terms of their responsibilities?
Yeah, I mean, the role, I mean, obviously like PMM is definitely more focused on the go-to-market, is taking whatever it is that we're building and putting the best face on it humanly possible to get the most people to adopt, appreciate, or want to spend money on your product. So like, obviously that's the part we own. The PM definitely owns the build phase where we're actually like trying to bring this concept to life. But and then I think that there's a tremendous amount of overlap in the very early stages of the process about what it is we should build, who we should build it for. Is this worth building because it will help differentiate us in the marketplace? Like, I think that's where the lines are the most blurry between PM and PMM is kind of what we should build and why at the earliest phase before we necessarily like actually set out to build it.
Okay. And in terms of product launches and introducing new features, what's that look like at different phases of your career? You know, the actual process of introducing new products and features at different companies, and how does that compare? Or, you know, as it can, has there been much, obviously much difference in the, you know, techniques that have been implemented from, I don't know, from, you know, the very first company that you're at to where you've, you know, where you've just been now?
Yeah, I think that early in my career, the first time I probably did product marketing was at the startup that I founded. I didn't have an effing clue about how to do it. It was like, oh, let's send some emails. Let's get a booth. There was no strategy to it. It was just like a series of tactics that we read about in other places and just tried to like do them haphazardly in a way that's probably not very performant or measured. Then the next role, we had like a little bit of an idea of like how we go to market, or at least a better idea of the customer and how they bought. So, but it's still, because it was more of an enterprise shop, like big launches really don't matter if you're a Series A startup trying to sell to like Fortune 500 companies, because they're not really paying attention to what you're doing anyways. And then we got to Intercom, and Intercom, like, it was interesting because like there was a real following. Like we did a lot of content that the startup community really appreciated and really followed. And there was a lot of kind of enthusiasm in the customer base about the new things we did. And there we had your kind of your classic like launch rubric. We had certain activities for different phases, for different tiers of launch. And it was like a real professional organization, and like really had an understanding of like how we took things to market and why and who they're for. And kind of at Gusto is the same, where like I think that Gusto is even a little bit more concerned with the measurement of different tactics than Intercom was. But like once again, had your kind of like classic four-tier launch rubric, sets of activities associated with that, and different channels, working with different teams to activate different channels. And so I think that kind of, yeah, it's kind of like as I become more seasoned, like I have a better idea of kind of what the different things you need to do and kind of why would they be performant and measure them kind of effectively. Cause like kind of sometimes your assumptions don't actually turn out to be true. But yeah, it's definitely with kind of more mature organizations and more mature thinking about the launch, it's become more sophisticated.
And in terms of product marketing itself, I mean, at the end of the day, it's your vocation. You know, it's what you do, and you know you're going to be passionate about it. You're going to love it. But there's always areas that some people would say could be changed. Some things could be improved. Is this something that you know, a viewpoint that you stand by, or you know, that you share? And in your opinion, what would you say could be done to make product marketing even better than it is already?
Well, I think kind of what we touched on earlier, where it's about the right sizing teams and giving people the ability to actually focus and go deep, I think would be a major improvement. Because I think that in many organizations, product marketing probably isn't funded to a scale that, say, product management is. And I think if you're hiring really quality folks that have like good product instincts, that really understand the market, if they had more time to be able to devote to a specific problem or a specific product, you're going to see more impact. And kind of if you spread those organizations really thin, you'll get that sporadically. Or people will, the PMM won't have time to actually like go deep on the kind of like, who is this for? How is this different? Doing all of the analysis needed to really like make sure that the positioning, the tactics are like spot on. Because frankly, they only heard about it 2 weeks ago and they're working on three other projects and they don't have the time to devote to actually do that. So I think right sizing PMM to the realities of your org and investing in it in a way that needs to be done will lead to much better results.
Yeah, sure. It's quite interesting as well that you say, you know, there's not as much, or it doesn't seem to be as much, almost like investment really in product marketing as it is in product management. But what do you think can be done by product marketers to almost prompt greater buy-in from key stakeholders? Because, you know, we have spoken with product marketers who, you know, highlighted that as being a particular challenge, that, you know, getting that, securing buy-in for the product marketing function could be quite tough at times. Is this something that you've encountered yourself at all? And as I say, you know, what can be done to kind of improve that situation?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like fundamental changes in the way that business is measured, right? Because like sort of R&D gets a cut of like a company budget, and it's like, that's it. And then product marketing usually counts against CAC. And so you're kind of incentivized from business metrics to like run really lean on your marketing team. And so I don't know what could be done with that. Like, for example, like potentially marketing could be orged similar to a product team where you have a product manager, a designer, an engineer, or some like combination of like a self-contained team for every product. Like, there's no necessary reason why you have to org it the way we do, where they're like brand design, product marketing to some extent, performance marketing, or all kind of like shared resources that are kind of like have to touch on everything. You could make them all kind of like self-contained teams, but then the headcount would go up. So I don't exactly know what the actual solve is, but like to some extent, the way in which almost all companies kind of org maybe needs to be rethought.
Yeah. Yeah. Given the role of product marketing, though, that it can play in, you know, in the success of a company, and that, you know, it's, you know, it can be such a fundamental role of, you know, not only short-term goals, but also the facilitation of long-term goals as well. Are you somewhat surprised by, you know, sometimes, you know, key stakeholders or C-suiters, you know, turning around and almost, I wouldn't say dismissing product marketing, I don't think that's the right phrase, but almost not attributing, or perhaps not attributing, the importance to the function as perhaps it deserves?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, the statement's becoming less true, but it's still kind of a new thing, right? Like, not a new, like as in 10 years or so old. Like, before that, you didn't really see them. So I'm wondering if it's a case where like some leaders kind of grew up before it was a thing. Which maybe, or they basically just, as they were coming up the ladder, they just didn't interact or experiencing it. So they don't really understand kind of the value it can provide. That's a wild ass guess. But yeah, I don't really know. Cause like, it's like, it makes sense that you'd really care about it, because like you invest all this effort in trying to build this thing or these things or these products. And kind of like product marketing is the stewards that are like making sure that when you tell, you actually bring that to life, someone actually kind of gives a shit. And it seems like something you'd really want to invest in, because you've invested all that time, resource into actually building it and staffing teams to do it. So like when you talk through it, it makes sense why this is a really important role. But yeah, I think that overall that teams are usually run pretty lean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The analogy that I always think of, or that I would apply to it, it's almost like investing in, I don't know, a soccer team and then buying all the, like, you know, refusing to buy any like good players. Like, I've had to wait. It just doesn't make sense. But anyway, and I mean, this, we get a lot of aspiring or new product marketers who tune into the show. As somebody who's been in product marketing, you know, you're not a newbie by any means now. What would your advice to them be as they start their own journey in product marketing?
Let's see. I mean, I think it, like, once again, it all starts with the product. Like, get curious. Like, if there's a company that you're trying, and this is hard because some are behind firewalls, they're not necessarily consumer products. And so you can't actually go and experience every product or at every company that you're trying to apply for, but really go as deep as you can in understanding kind of how it works, who their customers are, because there's usually like subtle differences, usually that people are trying to exploit to get certain markets. Like, Gusto was very focused on the SMB market. And so like really understanding what that small customer looks like, needs, wants from the product is really, really important and is going to serve you well in an interview. But it's really like going deep on the product, going deep on the customer, who they are, how that's different than somebody else or some other kind of competitor, And then also the last part is like forming an opinion about it. Like it's one thing to know it, but then it's the next step that I always look for in an interview is someone who can connect the dots. If I know this about the customer and I think this about the product, that equals what? Or what new thing or what insight? So I think it's kind of like using that understanding to develop some insight or some opinion that hopefully slightly different. And so kind of like always looking at the problems from like that perspective.
Okay, awesome. And obviously we're at the end of a pretty wretched year. So
total shit, actually.
To say the very least. But with 2021 on the horizon, hopefully we've got an exciting new year when we can start from scratch and we can kick on. For product marketing itself, what do you see around the corner? If you were to whip out your crystal ball and make a prediction for next year, what would that be?
I think it's going to be continuing to wrestle with like, what are the metrics that product marketing truly owns? And I think that potentially getting more clarity on that or more standardization across the board will enable product marketing to elevate the impact it has on an organization. And that might be one of the things that hold us back today is just the fact that almost every metric that a product marketer like says they own, whether it's like CSAT or NPS or anything, it's all shared. It's really hard to claim kind of in total that metric or kind of their impact on the world. Like you can do that with launches to some extent, but I think it's just getting more of a standard set of metrics that product marketing owns kind of at every single place that we can really show impact and fight for budget. And people, it's more easy for teams to understand kind of what is the value we bring to the org.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Greg. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And I hope that 2021 brings great success for you as product marketer next year. And as I say, thank you so much for joining me on Product Marketing Insider.
Thanks so much for having me. And hopefully this is somewhat interesting to someone.
I'm sure it will be. Thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.